Welcome to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, have been frozen upside down to the cave ceiling with nothing to do but talk all things Star Wars. So make yourselves comfortable, but keep a wary eye out for trouble here in the Wampa's Lair.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This is episode 128, Star Wars Day Resolutions. I am your host, Carl LeClaire, and as you all know, Jason couldn't be with us tonight, so we got in the worst possible co-host we could find, and we have the wonderful yet awful Joe Hogan.
I just wandered in off the streets. I figured nobody would mind. That's cool.
Figured the same thing.
Yeah, right.
Joe, thanks for being on tonight.
Oh my God, Carl, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, and I'm very excited too, because we're going to get to why you're specifically here tonight in a moment. Mm-hmm. But, you know, today was a big day. It's Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. This will be out later tonight, so if you don't hear it until tomorrow, May the 4th be with you. Retrospectively, belated May the 4th be with you.
Revenge of the 5th.
Revenge of the 5th. Also, Joe Hogan's birthday tomorrow.
Woo!
So commission him to do artwork. Starting in June.
I would love to eat on my birthday. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
normally, you know, we don't really talk new stuff on the show, but there's some really cool stuff that dropped from Vanity Fair today. In regards to The Force Awakens, we got that really cool behind-the-scenes video. And it's definitely clear to us now that Adam Driver indeed is playing Kylo Ren. I wasn't surprised by that, but it was cool to kind of get that confirmation. I thought it was funny the way they did it, right? It wasn't like StarWars.com revealing it. It was, you know, a professional photographer who kind of just credited everything.
Yeah.
But he looked...
That's a strange reveal, right? Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one that thinks that. I was very like, what? This is how we find out what he looks like under the mask, but
yeah.
Whatever. But what do you think of his look?
I like it personally.
Yeah.
I hope he wears the mask more than he doesn't, because
so
otherwise
that
he just looks
like
a. Well, oh, you meant like his face? Yeah, he's yeah, Adam Driver's like, not a very good looking dude
without his mask on.
Yeah, and I'm not crazy about it. But I mean, I love his wardrobe. It's so cool.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool to see them on the snow planet. I've been reading a ton of spoilers, which you know, because I tell you about them all the time.
Right.
None of which I will talk about on the show, because I know a lot of people want to stay spoiler-free. You know, it was really cool to see them on the snow planet. And that was a cool shot, too, with, you know, a very obvious set piece in the background.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's really clear with all the pictures that we got today from Vanity Fair is... Again, Abrams' commitment to giving us real sets. And, you know, as an OT fan, I'm crazy in love with that idea.
I personally like the prequels more.
Oh, okay, right. Well, I'm glad you're on here then tonight. You'll balance me out like Jason does.
No, the new sets look amazing. I don't mean to jump ahead or anything, but the thing that, man, that struck me the most was the... I can't remember the pirate's name, but... The pirate fortress group of aliens, and all of them are new species, and wow, I can't wait to spend hours trying to figure out, trying to memorize what their names are and what species they are and all that stuff, so that trivia night will be a success as usual. But yeah, stuff looks amazing. They look so good. I love the practical aliens. I love the practical sets. Ugh. Good. I gotta say, like, when I first saw the cover for Vanity Fair, I was like, all right, we're getting Daisy Ridley. We're getting hot. They're not going to give us anything new here. They're not going to give us anything new in this. It's just going to be more of the same stuff that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and then, bam, you look inside and there's, I don't want to spoil anything just in case anyone's, like, purposely avoiding it. All right. How do you want to handle that? Because I don't want to. Because there is one big thing that is kind of a spoiler.
Okay, so spoiler alert: mute your mic for the next 20 seconds if you don't want to know anything. But
Gwendolyn Christie is Captain Phasma.
Phasma. You're right. Sorry, yeah, Captain Phasma. Yeah.
Oh, I love her. She's an amazing actress in Game of Thrones. I'm so excited to see her kick booty. I'm so happy she's the Chrome Trooper.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pumped too. And that's such a sick looking costume.
Yeah,
it really makes me think of the Cylons from the original Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah. Okay.
But a little bit more badass. I mean, it's really cool. Like all these, you know, these creatures and new alien species. It's like, it's going to give us that sense of like walking into the Mos Eisley Cantina for the first time again, you know, I don't feel like the prequels really expanded that galaxy a whole lot. Whereas it looks like this is going to push the envelope in the old school way again, in the sense of giving us new creatures, new aliens, and new stories. The more I see of The Force Awakens, the more excited I get.
It's hard not to.
Yeah.
Plus, we're coming off Celebration where we got to see it, like, right, among an army of fans, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And I mean, obviously, as a Han Solo fan, I loved seeing even just a couple extra little shots of him. He just looks so good.
I love that jacket, man.
Oh, I do too. It's seriously, it's an Indiana Jones jacket infiltrated Star Wars.
I love it.
It's so good.
No, and, I mean, I love your description.
Oh, thanks.
Indiana Jones infiltrated. I like it. I like it a lot.
It belongs in a museum. Shut up. But yeah, I'm just super pumped for this movie, and I love Daisy Ridley. I don't know. I'm assuming you watched the little behind the scenes video, right? I mean, it's all of 55 seconds, but
yeah,
that little part where she's on the set and she's like, "Hello, Mr. Abrams," to Jade. I just like
she's very charming.
Yes, she's so cute. So huge fan of Rey's character, and I just think it's really cool too that we're getting a female protagonist and a female antagonist in this movie, which is very new for Star Wars. Maybe it'll finally pass the Bechdel test, Joe.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. But I am pumped. Like,
those I'm impressed that you remember the Bechdel test from the last time we spoke about it.
Yeah. So, well, somebody wrote in about it on our last episode.
Really?
Because we had like a Larry in response episode last episode. So somebody mentioned you and your Bechdel test. So
that's awesome. Were they calling me a social justice warrior?
Yeah, they called you a feminist. It was weird.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, man.
No, they were agreeing with you about the Bechdel test, but then they disagreed with both of us about Yoda using a lightsaber, so I had to give them...
As is their prerogative.
So I had to tell them why they were wrong again. Mm-hmm. I'm kidding. No, they actually made some really good points, so it was cool. Figure... It was good to get something new for Star Wars on Star Wars Day. I felt like that's what it kind of was. It was like a nice little present to Star Wars fans. It wasn't necessarily anything crazy new. I mean, yeah, Gwendolyn Christie, that was kind of big. Although I kind of saw that coming. And same with, you know, Adam Driver playing Kylo Ren. That had yet to have been officially revealed. Again, nothing super shocking, but still something cool to hold on to. And those shots just, I think, really raised my anticipation and excitement for this new movie.
Yeah, definitely, man.
So... And also earlier this week, you know, finding out that September 4th, we're going to get all the toys and crap. So,
oh, I didn't hear that.
Oh, really? You didn't hear that? Yeah. So I'm going to try to come down to New York with you because I want to do the Midnight Madness thing at Toys R Us.
Man, I think I'm going to have to do it.
Yeah, it's September 4th.
I've done it for all three prequels. I got to do it.
Yeah, I've never done it, so I really want
to. It's fun. It's fun. You gotta get there early though.
Well, yeah, that's right. If you want to go, well, I mean, we talk about this off air, but yeah, I'm definitely coming. Yeah, I'd rather do it in New York than by myself in Boston.
Absolutely, yeah, I'll be there.
And it's so because I don't really get excited about action figures anymore, but I can't wait to get my hands on a Kylo Ren action figure and an old man Han. So, and Daisy Ridley's action figure. Mm-hmm. So, hey, girl. So anyway,
hey girl,
what you doing? Oh, nothing, just rolling with BB-8.
If that line isn't in the movie verbatim, I'm just walking out.
Yeah, really.
I want my money back.
But anyway, that's, you know, just I thought it would be worth mentioning that was a really cool article. And again, yeah, the more we get about The Force Awakens, the more I cannot wait to see this movie. But anyway. Joe, the main reason I asked you to be on tonight, beyond just the fact that I love talking Star Wars on Star Wars Day, is also today was a huge day for you because you premiered Clone Wars Resolutions online.
Yeah.
And before we get into the nitty gritty of it, I just sat down and read the first two issues that you guys put out. Well, issues, vignettes, I guess is the word you're using, which is apt because they're like 17 pages combined.
That's even being generous.
Because a couple of the pages are covers and all that stuff.
Every vignette is a totally different size. I mean, we have ones that are 2 pages. We have the gigantic end story is 21 pages. So they're kind of everywhere in between. So, everything is building up towards the bigger one. But tomorrow is actually, I believe, a 9-pager. It's a really good one by, Jazz.
Oh,
Kopacek.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Before, wrote it, and Omar Maya Velasquez, who's been alongside Christy, the two of them have been the backbone to getting me everything I need and getting everything done. So Omar gets to shine tomorrow. I can't wait for everybody to check out his stuff because he worked super hard, and almost every vignette he's worked on has been immediately contradicted by Lucasfilm, like right out the gate,
because
he also illustrated the first part of our Rex Echo one, which totally got contradicted by the Bad Batch stuff that got showed. So that's out. And then the one tomorrow that we're releasing is a Quinlan Vos, Asajj Ventress one, where they're kind of meeting each other in Dooku's lair. And that's totally contradicted by Dark Disciple, which was announced when we already started illustrating it. Mm-hmm. So it was, we can't really win. There's a lot of things that kind of got rolled along the way, but you know, we worked as fast as we could, and there's so many people working. So once you guys see everything released and take a step back and look and see how much stuff we did, hopefully you'll realize why it took so long to get it out there.
Yeah.
But
well, I will say I was incredibly impressed with the very first vignette, which is completely done by you. The script, the lettering, illustration, the art in its entirety was all done by you. But I will say, like, I feel like you stepped your art game up even a little bit.
Thank you.
I've always liked your art to begin with, but this really, really looks good. Like, I felt like I was watching a Clone Wars episode. Like, it gave it that feel.
Oh, dude, I appreciate that.
I freaking loved that. So a little spoiler alert if you haven't read, I don't want to spoil anything from this first one, but I mean, it's obviously Obi-Wan reflecting on Satine, and I'll say, Joe, I'm really impressed with the script. That was my favorite thing. Like, when I read comics, that's actually my favorite part, which is interesting because I don't know. Everybody reads comics for different reasons, I'm sure, but what always grabs me is a good script. Maybe it's because I prefer a good story and good character development to art, because I'm not much of an artist. That story really grabbed me, and it was perfect. It's like you understood Obi-Wan Kenobi and you put that down on paper, which was really cool. So when did you write that?
That was actually the first script written for the project period. When all of us sat down and asked ourselves, well, what characters do we want to cover in this? Because there's 25 vignettes total. And Obi-Wan, even though we obviously know what happens to him, we know the rest of Obi-Wan's story, but his grieving and dealing with the death of Satine immediately after it happens, just really, there was no time in that story arc for him to do that. So that was always something that I wanted to see, and it was actually the first one that was conceived, written, and finished. I actually finished those pages in August, and then immediately got back to work on all of the other ones that I was working on. So, yeah, that was number one chronologically. It was number one getting done, and it was the first one to be written, too. So, and thank you for saying that I upped my game, because I gotta say, I don't want to take any... This is not my project. This is our project. Everyone who worked on it, every single person left a huge mark on it, just because we have a secret Facebook group that is only available to us. And, man, anytime anyone had anything, thumbnails and draft their pages or colored pages or their script, like anything anybody wanted to get an opinion on, everybody jumped in and gave amazing feedback. And you know, we were all able to make it better because, you know, we were a team. We had, you know, group crits and stuff like that. So, really, if Obi-Wan is a successful script, that it's because of the group. It's not because of me. It's not just because I upped my game. It's because I got amazing feedback from everybody, and everybody was, you know, it was a team effort, 100%. So everybody's vignette you see is because a lot of eyes got on it first. So it's good stuff. We're very proud of everything.
As you should be, because it's freaking awesome.
Oh, thank you.
we had you on here a while ago, and we've had you on a number of times, but we had you on here a while ago when you first kind of announced Clone Wars Resolution. Mm-hmm. How long have you guys been working at this?
Well, we've been brainstorming ideas between really kind of the time that the show was canceled and I would want to say June of last year. So about a year ago, we actually finished this, you know, got the scripts finished and then into the hands of the illustrators, and, you know, our 18 artists like just ran with it. And, you know, the timeline wasn't what we wanted it to be. We wanted to have it out by February digitally, but, you know, life gets in the way. A lot of people were going through a lot of personal stuff and career stuff. So we said, you know what, why don't we put the brakes on this? Let's get it done right instead of getting it out sooner. So, you know, that's been our goal, to, you know, make sure that the stuff we put out is quality. And, you know, I want to just quickly name drop Kayla too, who's the other vignette that was released today. The Kayla Croft did the Bo-Katan little story. So it's another, like you were saying before, like these are, hers was a little short. It was 4 pages, but, you know, Bo will show up later, but what Kayla did with it and, you know, the purpose of the story, I think is pretty clear. So I'm very proud of that one too. She did an amazing job. And Christy wrote that one. I don't know if you guys have mentioned Christy before, but I'm sure the Larians will be familiar with him soon.
Yeah, he's going to be on soon. So,
yep.
Was it just 4 of you or 5 of you that wrote the scripts?
So the way it turned out was that there were 4 of us were the main writers. It was myself, Joe Sabera, Christy, and Jazz. So we were the 4 main ones. And then I actually approached 2 other artists. Omar is one of them. And another guy named Fausto Montano, who actually had 2 stories that really, really fit with what we were doing, and they've already been released in their own channels, but I love their stuff, and I want them to be seen by a bigger audience, and I think people who dig, you know, this kind of thing in the first place would really dig there, so I thought it would be a great way to get them some love, too. So, Fausto, his is actually going to be released on Friday, and his covers Whatever Happened to Barriss Offee, you know? Because she was evil, but whatever happened with that? So there's a really cool story that he did. He's the biggest Barriss fan I've ever met in my life. So I was really excited when Fausto agreed to let us use that. And then Omar's is a Mace Windu one, which is pretty cool. So some people might be like, I don't know, Mace Windu should have really, it should have been pretty clear what a Mace Windu, but hey, Darth Maul got chopped in half and live, you know, so maybe it's not that crazy that Mace Windu could possibly not be as dead as everybody else. But yeah, so we hope people check it out. And actually both of those are still ongoing. So if you guys dig the vignettes of those, you should check out their websites, which all that stuff will be linked to those posts. So if you guys are interested in seeing more of those 2 artists doing their thing with those stories, you should definitely do so.
Nice. Joe, like writing for these, you know, these resolution stories, and now some of you already found out that some of your stories are going to be contradicted, and, you know, and obviously your stories are going to be trumped by canon stories.
Oh yeah. I mean, we wouldn't have it any other way, honestly. The canon stuff is just as important to us.
Yeah. And I know that. How did you write these? I mean, do you feel like you had to get into the head of the characters that you're writing for?
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of homework. You know, it was a lot of rewatching the episodes that the characters appeared in. And what we ended up doing at first was just sitting down on Skype, the whole group of, you know, the four of us, and we just kind of bounced ideas off each other until we figured out what it was exactly we wanted the story to be. And then each one of us kind of has our own unique way of storytelling. So we then just kind of let our own styles do the talking. So I have a very, like, overly dramatic thing with my mine are always over the top cheesy, but I always try to, like, bring it home by the end. So, like, the last panel is just kind of like a punch in either the gut or the feels, or like, yeah, amazing kind of thing. And specifically, I always go for emotional reactions. I always try to incorporate a lot of heartstring tugging with my stuff. So hopefully that was achieved in the Obi-Wan one, because that was the one I wanted it to the most. But yeah, we just kind of all, it was a, that was another group effort. Like, I was praising the artists before, but I couldn't praise the writers enough. Those guys were, you know, just as important. They were the brains, and the, you know, the artists were the body of this whole thing. So
yeah, you just said how it took kind of some homework. You had to go back and rewatch these episodes and stuff.
Oh yeah,
that sounds like good homework, though.
It was. It was a blast. You know? It was time consuming, but, you know, of course, because, you know, we have to reiterate, like, none of us are getting paid to do any of this stuff. We're not making any money off of it. We don't want to step on any toes. Everything is free to read, and so all of the collectively the countless hours that everybody put into it, it was difficult to. Get other work done, and that's also why this is coming out so late, but it was so worth it, man. Everybody had so much fun, and I think it shows, honestly. The quality of this stuff is pretty amazing. I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, I mean, I've read both the vignettes that came out today, and this is what's so exciting. For the next month, I will get to read a vignette every day.
Yeah, I mean, everything. Cool. There's still a few people finishing up on stuff, and it's no fault of their own. It was, like I said, life happens and stuff gets in the way. But I gotta say, man, everybody who's been I'm not, without getting into any detail, like, there are artists who have been going through, like, serious life, you know, things getting in the way of stuff, and man, they come through. And I gotta say, I'm so appreciative of everybody's time and effort, and, you know, going through really, really crappy life things and just still getting stuff done on time because, you know, they believe in the project, and they're just good people. They're good artists, and, you know, they do what they got to do.
Yeah, that's so cool. So, you know, I like the fact that, you know, everything's free. You can read it either on the website, you can download a PDF, or you even made it into a CBZ file for people's, like, iPads, Kindles, whatever your tablet might be. So you can use a comic book reader, which is what I just did, and it looks freaking great.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that, because the only person who's seen it on their iPad so far is me. I don't know if anybody else got a chance to actually test any of the CBZ files. You're the first person I've heard, because I know a couple of people told me they did the PDFs, and those are much smaller files. I'm looking into how to, make the CBZ files a little smaller, because they're pretty huge. They're between, like, 15 to 30 megs, and especially when we release the entire thing at the end as a CBZ file, that file would be enormous, so I gotta figure out how to make them a little smaller. But, yeah, I'm glad they look good on your, you have a Kindle, right?
Yeah, I have a Kindle. Yeah.
I'm happy they look good on
it. It looks great. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So, but yeah, I mean, this has got to be, I know you're not done working because you're always working on this still. But it's got to be a pretty good feeling now that it's finally starting to roll out.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, people are still working on it. I'm still working on a lot of the things I'm doing. I'm actually working on it right this moment as I speak to you. So I apologize to the Larians if at any point I feel like, you know, it seems like I'm not paying attention. I'm stretched pretty thin on my schedule. But yeah, like, it's validating because it's got a pretty awesome reception so far, but there's still so much to do that I feel like I can't quite sit back and enjoy it yet. But I'll get there.
Yeah, I can't wait for it's done so you can get back to doing some commissions for me.
That makes two of us, actually. And as much as I love this project, I'm looking forward to doing something that isn't Clone Wars.
Yeah, well, and probably pays you, so.
Yeah, you know, that paycheck would be amazing at some point.
Each of those little intro pages, you know, to the vignettes kind of, you know, make it clear, like, you know, this is a work of the fans. Like, this isn't canon. But I like how it ends by, you know, again, you use that phrase a lot of, it's a labor of love. And I think that's what's just so cool. Like, this is why I've always liked you, is because you're so passionate about Star Wars that you do something with it. And, you know, my passion has made, you know, a podcast, which is a lot of fun, but I really wish I could do art because I love the shit you do. I mean, it's so cool. You know, and I just think it's so great that you're taking this thing you're super passionate about, and you love the Clone Wars, which I know. But you're telling these like really cool stories. And it's so cool that you're doing it with a collaboration of so many different artists. That's, to some degree, I would imagine that's a lot of fun because you get so many varying styles, but at the same time, I feel like that's probably a huge headache too, because you're waiting on that many more people to get things done. And that's that many more people who have to deal with life happening. Right. So,
yeah, I mean,
I don't say that as like an attack on anybody who's, you know, got something coming up, but it's just, that's the reality of it. The bigger you make the pool, the more likely you are to run into problems.
Exactly. Like, if, you know, anytime anybody was late, everybody was pretty cool about, you know, coming to me aside saying, hey, I don't know if I can get this done. It's been a blessing working with these people. It's, you know, there were some nights that were rougher than others, trying to scramble and figure out, well, how are we going to get this one on time? How are we going to do this and that and everything? But I can't sing these artists and again, writers, you know, I can't sing their praises enough. It's funny you say that there's such a variance, because in the beginning, some people were saying, oh, well, do you think it would make sense if we all did it in the Clone Wars style? And like, I immediately said, no, I hate that idea, honestly, just because, you know, we're such a different group of like, everybody's style is so different, especially you'll see tomorrow, like Omar's and even today's, Kayla and I just have such different styles, and everybody has such a different style that, you know, we were really able to make sure that the right artists got the right stories and the tones were just perfect for each other. So there's so many of them that I'm so excited for people to see. I gotta mention Brandon Dunn's Justice. And I was able to write the script for that one, and that focuses on Commander Fox. And what Brandon did with the Commander Fox story is absolutely amazing. I love his work. He was the one artist that I didn't approach myself. Chris actually approached him because I wasn't familiar with Brandon's work. And I'm so happy that Chris spoke up and said, hey, we gotta get this guy, because Brandon did an amazing job. And I know I'm going to leave out a lot. There's 18 of us artists, so I'm sure I'm going to leave some people out by accident. But I'm telling you, if you check it out every day, every day you're going to get surprised with you know, a different style, and it's really, really, really awesome.
How many of the characters have you focused on?
It's really hard to say, because we have characters like Bo, who show up again later in some other ones. And then there's a lot of characters who show up. It's really hard for me to say without spoiling. So the way it works, just so people understand, is that the first few vignettes are kind of like the tail end of Clone Wars. And then as the weeks go by, some of the stuff actually spills into the time between episode 3 and episode 4. And it all pretty much ends there, but all of the stuff in that time period kind of come to a head at the very, very end. And there's a big 5-part finale, which we call Final Resolutions. And that's going to start, I think, in the last week of May, if I remember the schedule correctly. And that's just going to end ballistically. It's so chaotic, and there's so many characters in it. So there are some characters that showed up in that one for the first time, but we set them up a little bit. And man, if I have to guess, I would say there's about 30 in total Clone Wars characters that we tried to put the spotlight on.
Wow, that's a lot.
It was pretty crazy. it was like, it was really overly ambitious, and I hope we did a good job, but I honestly think we have.
Well, I know I am super excited about this, and is this probably like the biggest project you've kind of ever tackled?
In terms of a group, yeah, I've never really been in charge of anybody, so being in charge of, I guess, what, 21 other people, since I'm an artist and a writer, and that number, I can never, I don't know what the collective number is, I think it's maybe 20 or 21, I've never been in charge of anybody other than myself on fan projects, so to be in charge of that many people at once, this was a huge learning experience on my part, and everybody made it such a pleasant one, and, we're already talking about maybe doing another one next year. We'll see. We gotta get this one, but if it's well received and people want more, we will definitely consider doing another Star Wars anthology, but probably not Clone Wars.
Good.
Yeah. Good. Not Rebels either. We're gonna let Rebels do its thing. Well, maybe we'll do Legends EU resolutions.
There you go. Yeah. Awesome. Well, you know, I really wanted to get you on tonight just so you could kind of talk a little bit about it. And, you know, I really want people to check this out because I know it's going to be good. And I mean, it's already off to a great start with just two short vignettes, but I can't wait to see more of it. And, just, you know, hear these stories that we haven't been told, and even the ones that are going to be contradicted, it doesn't matter. I just think it's really cool that, you know, this is just a group of, for the most part, of my friends, as far as the scriptwriters go, sitting down and writing Star Wars, which I just think is an awesome idea. So,
Go ahead.
I'm just really excited to see more of it.
Oh, well, thank you, dude. And the other thing I just want to quickly throw out there, like, we mentioned it briefly before, like, we know this stuff is going to get contradicted, and honestly, like, a lot of it already has. We just really hope that you guys, you know, anyone who's interested in reading it, can kind of suspend that and just enjoy it for what it is. And we're kind of making the joke that now we're legends, too. We're already getting rubbed out by all the new stuff coming out. So if you can suspend your belief and enjoy it for what it is, it's just, you know, like you mentioned before, our labor of love, you know, hopefully you guys will really dig it because we put our hearts and souls into it.
And I'm fairly certain that'll be able to, you know, you'll be able to tell. So awesome. So at the end of the show, screw the end of the show. Joe, right now, why don't you tell, like, where are people going to find this? You know, I'm going to share the links and stuff. Initially, on the Wampa's Lair stuff, but where else can people, you know, just so straight up, where do they go to find it?
Right, so the vignettes themselves are posting every single day on clonewarsresolutions.blogspot.com, and we have a Facebook group, and of course, every single day that we post a new vignette, we're going to have it on there, so if that's easier for you, instead of favoriting a blog, because I know not everybody is subscribed to Blogspot, so if putting it in your bookmark list to check it every day is too much of a pain in the butt, feel free to like it on Facebook, and you know, you will see that stuff every day. Every day we're going to be posting that stuff on there. So every weekday, rather.
Right. Yeah, so, not on the weekends.
Mm.
Right.
No, we're taking the weekends to work in between.
Nice. Yeah, and I don't know that we'll put up a link every single day just because that might get a bit much.
Oh, no, we don't want to bother anybody.
Right, well, no, I mean, that's the idea, though. Hopefully you'll go and either like their page or follow the blog, whatever you want. And all that information's even in each of the vignettes as well. So you're going to...
Yeah, we...
It's pretty easy to follow along.
Yeah, we make sure everybody's credited. So if you like anybody's work, you want to go show them some love, you know, check them out on DeviantArt or Facebook or whatever. And yeah, please do, because... You know, if you see an artist's work that you really dig, you know, all that stuff is going to be linked on Facebook and everything. You know, show them some love because they really put their hearts into it. And I hope that everybody enjoys it, and hopefully that they know everybody enjoys it.
Yeah. You know, I've never been one for fan fiction ever. I've never read any. I've never really. Well, I mean, no, I've never read any. You know, I would assume, you know, it'd be fan films, you know, like Troops and stuff like that. I've seen a few of those, but fan fiction has never been something that has interested me. Mm-hmm. And not for any like negative reasons. I've just never been interested. But in a sense, this is the first piece of fan fiction I'll have ever captured. And I'm already digging it. And what I think is really cool, and this is what I've always liked about you, Joe, is the fact that it just makes me want to go write Star Wars stories now.
There is no higher praise than telling an artist that the artist inspired you, I believe.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Damn.
So, thank you. That's pretty awesome to hear.
So, you know, and this is, again, this is just what's so awesome about Star Wars is the amount of creativity it sparks in people. And if you're somebody who already has a skill, like you have the skill of art, you know, I mean, you can do something with that. And I'm like to think I'm at least okay at talking, so that's why I have a podcast.
Well, hey, like I said, we'll probably do another one next year. Maybe if you're interested in writing something, maybe I'll be the one to illustrate it.
Well, like when you and I did the prequels dreams episode, I'm all about doing some little prequels resolutions vignettes.
I'll be honest. I love the idea. I think it'd be fun. It would.
You know, we can have Yoda just like using a magic wand as opposed to a lightsaber just to piss people off. You know, we'll have Jake Lloyd as the ghost of Anakin.
Jeez.
I'm kidding. But yeah, dude, like this is just so cool. And, you know, being the fact that we are just a podcast of, you know, Jason and I are just two geeky fanboys who love talking Star Wars and are trying to do something with that love and passion. You know, this is why I love having you on here, especially in light of this project, is because this is something that's to me, it's pretty darn huge. I mean, you guys are running this thing for a month. You've been working on it for over a year, you know, and it's just so cool that you can be so committed to something like that. And I think that's just, it says so much about the power of Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
And when better to talk about that sort of thing than on Star Wars Day, you know?
Right.
and just to really praise and be thankful for the gift of Star Wars and how that, you know, affects us so much. And, you know, I'm just super excited. I've been waiting for this for a long time and I'm really excited. And I've been lucky. Like we hang out a lot on Skype anyway, and you know, you'll occasionally give me a little sneak peeks of what you're working on. So I've got a little bit of a background, but at the same time, like I'm just really excited to finally get to start reading the stories now. Cause I'm looking forward to it. And I can't wait to, read the first Joe Cerbera story just so I can like rip it apart just to make fun of him.
Jeez.
Be like, dude, this story sucked.
I think his first one is, I think it's a week from today.
Okay.
I think his first one is, because he wrote both parts of the Rex Echo story that we have. So part one is Monday and part two is a week from tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's his first one that shows up.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm kidding. I'm sure Joe's a very good writer, and
he really is.
I believe you. Yeah. Well, I don't think you recruit people that you wouldn't think would do a good job.
I'm recruiting you on the comic next year, but
dude, whatever you can write, I can write better.
That's wrong.
I'm kidding. I'm just gonna put a bunch of Nickelback lyrics to everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm so pissed at you. Yeah.
I can't help being a Jedi.
Really. Yeah.
Oh man. Sorry, Larry, and we have a bromance.
Yes, we do. Anyway, Joe, you know, I also wanted to get you on here just a little bit to talk some new Star Wars comics, because to me, you're one of my comic book gurus. Because as most people probably know, if you've been listening to the show, I've gotten into comics quite a bit. I got into them probably in about October, and I've been into them a lot since. And you know how awesome that we're getting these new Star Wars Marvel comics, which I have been on top of completely. And I know you have been too, Joe, but you've been a comic fan most of your life. So you've got all the Dark Horse experience, but I figured, you know, Jason hasn't really been reading any of the comics. So since he couldn't be here tonight, I figured tonight would be a good night to just kind of dive in a little bit into some of the comics that we've got coming out from Marvel right now. And as kind of somebody who's read a lot of the Dark Horse, if not all of the Dark Horse, I'd love to hear your perspective on what's different, what's changed, do you like it, do you not like it, type of a thing. Mm-hmm. I've read a few of the Dark Horse for sure, but nothing like you. I remember reading Dark Empire, which was okay, you know, and maybe we'll touch on that a little tonight, I don't know, but, you know.
I mean, why not?
But, for me right now, the Star Wars line, though, just the Star Wars run that they're doing, you know, we just got the fourth issue. I'm loving that run already.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna actually give a heads up right now. I don't want to caution myself. So if you haven't been reading these and you don't want to be spoiled, you may want to just turn the episode off. only because I don't mean to. There's not huge things to spoil, but since they've been out for a little while now, I'll probably share things that are in each of these stories. So if you don't want to know that, feel free to like maybe turn off for now and come back later. I'm not going to purposely spoil things, but if I accidentally do, you've been warned. That's just what I want to say.
And no one's fault.
Yeah. And the Dark Horse stuff, feel free to spoil because that's all been out for a while. So and it's just Legends now. So, you know, I'm really liking the Star Wars line and the first issue or the second issue? I think it was the second issue where you have Luke fighting Darth Vader.
Yeah, I think that was two.
I think it was two as well. Yeah. My initial response was like, oh, I don't know about this. Like, I'm not, it seems so silly. Like, it's too soon. And I almost was a little, like, I felt a little uncomfortable. Like, is this just trying to placate us as fans so we can get a lightsaber duel right away? And, you know, that was one of my minor critiques of the Clone Wars is how often, like, Anakin and Obi-Wan duel Count Dooku, you know? I found it a bit much. While I love every single one of them because they look so cool, sometimes I feel like it was a little too much. So at first I was like, I don't know about this. But then I realized, no, actually, this is a really good way to start this story because if you think about it, I mean, in A New Hope, Vader has no idea who Luke is. Mm-hmm. He senses that the Force is strong with him and that's the extent of it. But then when we get to the beginning of Empire Strikes Back, I mean, even in the opening crawl, we're told that he is like hunting Luke Skywalker. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, why? You know, there's obviously a backstory that's never really been told about that. So I think that's kind of my impression of what the Star Wars run is kind of doing is setting that up of, you know, Vader sensed something in this kid and he's very interested in him. And at this point in the comic, he doesn't know that it's his son. All he knows is that it's some hotshot rebel pilot, and he's just trying to find out more about him, which I think is really cool. And I really like what it's doing with Luke's character because he is doubting himself like crazy, especially in the most recent issue. You know, he essentially says he's got to leave the Alliance for a little bit to kind of go find himself. And I think he plans on going back to Tatooine to see if he can find anything at Ben's hut. And, you know, this is, it's so cool, like how humanizing that is of Luke. And it's kind of telling his struggle of, you know, he knows now he has this great destiny before him. Ben made that very clear to him in the, you know, the activities of A New Hope, but he doesn't know how to do it on his own. And, you know, his little showdown with Vader shows how far from being a Jedi he is. I mean, if he got embarrassed in The Empire Strikes Back, I mean, this is embarrassment squared. You know, I mean, it wasn't really much of a fight. Mm. But there's that really cool, piece of art where Vader's holding both of their blades, and he recognizes, hey, this handle looks familiar, which was really cool. So, I don't know, I just think these stories are really great already because they're really delving into the characters. Same with the Princess Leia run, that's going really well. I haven't read the most recent one, but you know, I think it's really cool that she's gone off to Naboo to find, you know, Alderaanian survivors. You know, it's kind of fleshing out her character a bit more, and it was cool to see her on Naboo and she sees like a portrait of Padme, which was awesome, and it kind of like conjures a response, but we don't know exactly what that response is all about. And we're getting some flashbacks to her as a kid and her interactions with Bail. So I think it's really good. Like some of these comics, what is really cool about them is I really feel like they're bridging the prequels and the originals, which I really appreciate. I think that's really cool when you have that ability to kind of bridge these two really cool stories. And what else do we got? Well, we've got the Vader stuff. The Vader stuff's been okay. I'm not like super smitten with that quite yet. The first issue was amazing, but
the first issue was mind blowing.
Yeah. Since then, it's been like okay. Like I'm not super enamored by it. I don't dislike it, but but that first issue was awesome. I mean, having it, you know, seeing him show up at the Imperial Palace on Coruscant And what was really cool too is that artwork where it really looks like, you know, Palpatine's office from the prequels, but it's really cool because now it's the Imperial Fortress and he's so pissed at Vader, which is awesome. Like Vader gets like belittled by the Emperor, which I thought was really cool. You know, so he's kind of got to prove himself to the Emperor again, which I thought was a neat piece of storytelling because most of the time when we think of Darth Vader, we just think of him as like indestructible, but we see him kind of screwing up a little bit, which is which is interesting. I thought that was really cool how that kind of played out. Although I will say from the most recent Darth Vader issue, there was, again, I don't know why we need to see Darth Vader hanging out with Jabba the Hutt. I'm not necessarily a huge fan of that. It's fine. I don't dislike it, but again, I don't see why the story needs to go there. But what was really cool is like he's talking with Jabba and Jabba, you know, kind of hints at the fact that this Luke Skywalker kid is from Tatooine and, you know, which is odd because you wouldn't think of anybody special coming from Tatooine. And then there's this really cool panel of, it's just a close up of Darth Vader. And, you know, I think that the dialogue box from Jabba is like, who would have thought that something great could come from Tatooine or something? And there's the twin suns in Vader's eyelids, which is, I thought that was a really cool artistic shot. Have you seen that yet or no?
Wait, the twin suns you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I just thought that was really cool. That was a neat little symbolism right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the Kanan comic right now, which we've only had one issue of, but I loved that first issue. Personally, have you read it yet?
Yes. The only one I haven't read, well, the only two I haven't read were Leia 2 and 3. I just wasn't able to get around to them yet.
Yeah, I haven't read 3 yet, but
yeah, I'm up to date on Vader, Star Wars, and Kanan. I think the Kanan comes out tomorrow, right? Oh no, Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay. I think the Kanan comes out Wednesday. But I thought that was cool. The Kanan one was really good. I liked kind of this foreshadowing moment with you know, Master Bilba or Bilaba. Do you know how to say it?
Depa Bilaba.
Depa Bilaba or Bilba or
yeah.
I don't know. What's your name? but yeah, she makes this great kind of remark about how, you know, the Jedi are going to always have to evolve because the Force is kind of evolving all the time. And it's kind of a neat little foreshadowing to the fact that the Jedi Order, as we know it, is coming to an end. And almost as if she kind of foresees that and makes this kind of realistic claim that, you know, even if things change, you know, the Jedi must always respond to those changes. They must always be willing to kind of be fluid and respond to that. Which I think is really cool. And I like that too from a religious standpoint too, because like religions tend to get stuck in their ways and forget that, you know, we have to sometimes move because life is all about change. So, but anyway, that's my only little side note, but I really liked that quote. I thought that was cool. So, but I mean, what have you thought so far? I mean, how do you think they like stack up against, you know, the Dark Horse stuff?
I gotta say, like, I really, really dig them. And I honestly went into it not really knowing what to expect. And I gotta say, I think the reason that I like them so much is because it's very clear that maybe not Disney, I mean, maybe it's not specifically Disney, maybe it's more Marvel and Disney just said, hey, here's what we're doing. But I feel like there's just such a tighter control on the quality. And it's very apparent. So like, you know, nothing against Dark Horse, but because, you know, Disney is totally revamping the direction that this EU stuff goes. And they've also gone on record by saying this stuff is canon. It's not like the EU where there's like all these levels of canon. We're like, oh, maybe it's canon, maybe it's not. Everything coming out right now is the new Disney canon story. And I gotta say, I'm shocked that their level of control and that they're putting into it is really positively affecting the quality. I honestly think it's for the better. So everything just kind of has, like you were saying before, the main Star Wars line. That story has been very, while it's involving everyone, and it was something that it was the one I was least excited about. It's easily my favorite one because of how just in-depth they're getting with the characters. So yeah, we always see Vader being like a total badass, but in this one, you know, we're seeing a different side of him. You know, even in Vader's standalone one, we're seeing a different side of him. But in the main Star Wars one, we're seeing him slowly figuring out about Luke. So where he's not just this killing machine, like, he's, you know, he's Anakin Skywalker in there somewhere. So, like, he's not just a half-cyborg dude running around. So it's cool to see them approach the characters from different aspects, because I really feel like they're making an effort to only put out stuff that's going to further advance the story so far. So Kanan, we're getting all that backstory. We're going to see what makes Kanan tick, I think, by the end of his miniseries. I don't know if it's a miniseries. I don't know how long it's going on for. But so that's really interesting, and that stuff's been cool to see. Leia, I had mentioned to you, like, I wasn't crazy about the first one, but everybody's saying that it gets better, and I have the other two. I'll get down to them when I get a chance. But it's still interesting that they're choosing to flesh out these characters instead of other things. Like, at first, my first complaint was, oh, why aren't we seeing what happens between, you know, Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens? Like, there's so much time. Why aren't they focusing on that? It turns out they're going to do a novel that'll cover quite a bit of that. But, you know, that's 30 years to cover. So hopefully Marvel will eventually get around to that. But the stuff they're doing now, I'm mind blown by how much quality effort they're really putting into it. I know I keep using the word quality, but I'm just genuinely impressed with how well they're doing so far, I must say.
Yeah. It's I just feel like they're giving everything more depth, which mm-hmm. I really appreciate.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, these characters we feel like we've known so well for so long, I feel like maybe not necessarily what they're telling me is like shockingly new, but it's just making me feel like these characters are even more real and even more human. Which I really appreciate. It's making that galaxy far, far away that much more accessible again, which I think is really exciting. That's what makes Star Wars cool. I can't believe I didn't even mention this. You know, the end of the first Darth Vader comic issue. Huge spoiler if you haven't read it, so heads up. But he slaughters a bunch of Tusken Raiders.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. Like, he shows up on Tatooine, and they ask him if he's done, and he's like, yeah, I'm done here now. And it's just this awesome panel of him just standing over a Tusken camp, like, after, like, murdering all of them. And what a cool connection to, you know, what he did in Attack of the Clones. And, you know, Vader still has some of Anakin in him because he channels that hatred. Like, he hates the Tusken Raiders. And, you know, must have stumbled upon a village, and he's like, screw it, I'm just going to slaughter them. Why the hell not? And I thought that was such a neat little moment to make, and to make what was very strong statement right from the get-go of reminding us that Vader was Anakin.
Mm-hmm.
Real
quick, to answer a question that you actually asked me before, but to piggyback off of what you were saying, I feel like the big difference between the Marvel stuff and the Dark Horse stuff is the Dark Horse stuff is a lot more about, well, at least in my opinion, was a lot more about telling new stories with these characters, where the Marvel stories are more about fleshing the characters out specifically, not just seeing them on adventures, like really getting into who they are as characters and what their motivations are, and, you know, watching them change and grow, because a lot of that stuff is support for the movies so far.
Yeah.
And for Rebels now too. Like, it's more about Marvel. So has been more about understanding the characters we already know, instead of just watching them, you know, assuming we know them the way they are in the Dark Horse stuff, and just watching them go on new crazy adventures, and are they going to get out of this one? And I'm, you know, that sounds condescending of me, because I love the Dark Horse run. Like, there's so many good ones that I could ramble about for hours. I promise I won't. But yeah, man, I feel like that's the main difference. That's the main difference that I've noticed so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it even seems like that's kind of the a little bit of even the angle the novels are trying to take a little bit.
Yeah.
Is they're trying to tell us more about the characters than they are about these new adventures. And
yeah, exactly.
And that's kind of, I mean, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful to all the EU fans out there. And I loved the EU, and there's still things about the EU I will always love, and what we now call legends. But I feel like after a while, I just kind of got sick of reading the same story over and over again. I mean, the Fate of the Jedi series, which was like 9 novels, could have easily been 3, maybe 4. And then the Legacy of the Jedi or whatever those last couple of series were. I mean, they were like ridiculously long, and it was just the same damn story over and over again. There was just no depth to it. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, you know, as a Star Wars fan, just because it says Star Wars on it doesn't mean I'm going to read it. And to me, I almost felt disrespected by it. And I know that maybe is a bit of a strong statement, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but it's just like, you know, just because you put out a Star Wars book doesn't mean I'm going to read it if it sucks. was my impression of a lot of those.
You can't judge if it sucks or not until you've read it, though. That's
right. Well, and the last few that I read sucked, so I was like, I'm done. So, and again, that's my opinion, but it was just, you know, they were just kind of telling the same story. They were telling me, I was reading about characters I really didn't care about. And I feel like the way they took the big three got very boring. The big three became very one-dimensional characters, which sinks because it's like they were trying to tell you like that they're the same character 30 years later. It's like no human being is the same after 30 years. You know, so, and that's why I'm super excited about The Force Awakens, because we're going to get some serious character development in the return of the big three. I don't think they're just going to give us the same Han Solo from Return of the Jedi or the same Luke Skywalker. And so many people, I think, are like, you know, there was such an initial negative reaction by some of these hardcore EU fans of, you know, like, oh my gosh, that's not, you know, Mara Jade needs to be there. Why? Why does she need to be there? She wasn't even that good a character. That's, again, my opinion. I'm sure I just pissed off like 1,000 people, but...
well, she'd be dead by now anyway.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. But, you know, I found her character often one-dimensional. There, I mean, she was okay in the Thrawn trilogy, and it, like, to me, felt like a forced romance with Luke just to give him a romance story. And then she becomes a boring side character in much of the rest of the series. So, you know, I'm excited to push the envelope in character storytelling, which is what I feel like this new trilogy is going to do. Which, again, not to get back on that, but again, from that little video with J.J. Abrams on Vanity Fair, you know, he says, you know, what was quintessential to all of us in telling the story was getting back to what makes any story great, and that's characters. Mm-hmm. And that's what made Star Wars so amazing. That's what we loved about Star Wars. It's what keeps us coming back, is because we can identify with characters. And so to wrap it into what we've been talking about, I think that these new comics are kind of doing that. They're really giving us new depth to all of these characters that we've seen in print for 40 years almost. You know, I mean, and there have been some great Dark Horse comics. There have been some great EU stories. But I just think it's really cool how the direction it's going now, I almost feel like it's, oh, there's just so much more depth to it. Again, my opinion. And I'm sure there's a lot of you out there right now who are like, oh, there's so much depth to EU. You just haven't read the right things. And you're probably right. I probably haven't. but, you know, I really like what this comic series is doing.
Yeah, man. It's awesome. Can I plug a few Dark Horse lines?
Yeah, I wish you... Yeah, I really want you to.
Okay. So, I'm going to let you guess what my first one's going to be. My biggest one.
Shadows of the Empire?
No. Oh. That's one of my favorite novels.
Okay,
And one of my favorite EU things in general, just because, you know, it was a video game, it was a comic, it was a novel, and toys and all that stuff.
Soundtrack. So,
yeah, the soundtrack was really cool,
too. I loved that soundtrack, yeah.
No, my favorite Dark Horse run of any Star Wars comic is Star Wars Tales. Absolutely amazing. If anybody ever gets a chance to check it out, it's this 24-issue run of all these anthologies of Star Wars stories that take place all over the timeline. So a lot of them are parodies, a lot of them are jokey ones, some of them are more serious, some of them are really exciting. A lot of them got contradicted as the movies came out, because I believe the run started right after Phantom Menace and then went on for, I want to say, 6 or 7 years, something like that. I think it was every month or every other month. I honestly don't remember. It had to be every other month or something like that. But yeah, it was really, really good. A lot of my favorite Star Wars stories, period, came out of being little vignettes from that. And actually, that was a big reason that we ended up doing Clone Wars, because of Tales's the format of that and how cool that was to have everything be an anthology and have all these, because every issue was a different artist, and some of them had multiple parters that you had to read the next issue to see what happens in the last vignette. And yeah, they were really, really super cool. So if you guys are big on your EU, definitely, definitely, definitely check out Star Wars Tales, because I can't say enough about it. There's, you know, it, I gotta say, that did a lot of fleshing out characters too, because one of them has a story about the, I mean, this is spoiling the ending of it, but, you know, the comic has been out for over a decade, so I think I'm allowed. one of the vignettes is actually the story of how the stormtrooper who got shot in the face by Princess Leia on the Tantive 6...
Tantive 4, Joe, come on.
Is it? I thought it was Tantive 6.
No, you fool.
Isn't it Tantive 6 because it's episode 4? And no, not the Tantive 4 in episode 4?
It's the Tantive...
Whatever. In any event. So yeah, that stormtrooper that gets shot in the face when he's like, set for stun, you actually see his origin story and everything that leads up to that. It's actually really cool. And there was another one that had Darth Maul resurrected to fight Darth Vader before, you know, obviously many years before Clone Wars did it. And that was really fun. And actually, frankly, as far as I'm concerned, had a better, had a more believable excuse as to why Darth Maul was alive, but that's neither here nor there. And, yeah, there's just so, there's a Kyle Katarn one, who everybody loves Kyle Katarn. He's got a later one, which is really fun. And, yeah, Tales is pretty amazing. I know you read a couple and you weren't as impressed as I was, but there's one that I kind of built up for Carl when he first started getting into comics. I was like, you gotta read it, you gotta read it, you gotta read it. And the reason is because there's a big twist in it. And I think the reason it resonated with me so much was that I wasn't expecting the twist. Meanwhile, when I was telling Carl about it, you know, all I did was say, you know, this is amazing, you have to check this out. You have to read this because it's so good, there's an amazing ending. But, like, I think that kind of made your expectations higher, and it just wasn't as cool for you. But I still love it. It's still one of my favorite comics, period. The final vignette in issue number 2 of Star Wars Tales, if you guys, it's called Incident at Horn Station, for those of you that are readers or interested in it. But yeah,
it was a good story. Yeah, I think you probably just a little too much buildup.
I did. I hyped it up for you.
Yeah, but it was. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Yeah, that's cool.
But there's definitely been some, yeah, there were some really cool stories in there. And like you said, the one, you know, the Maul versus Vader, you know, that's a very popular story anyway, and it's so cool. I mean, and that we had some really cool character development for Vader in that too, which was cool. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you want to mention any others?
Oh, man. The little digest-sized Star Wars adventures were really cool. Each character got their own, like, little, like I want to say, like, 120-page small digest-sized comic, maybe even more pages than that. And, you know, they focused on a lot of characters. They focused on Luke and his training on Dagobah and learning some hard lessons there. There was a Darth Vader-centric one. There was a Boba Fett, a Chewbacca. There was actually an adventure of Han and Leia that I think takes place between... Oh, maybe it was after Return of the Jedi. I don't remember. But I think it was between episode 4 and 5. But that was really fun. I might be forgetting some. And there were also some Clone Wars versions of that. And those were styled... They were called Clone Wars Adventures. And those were actually styled after the Gendy series Clone Wars. So, obviously, I'm a gigantic, ridiculous fan of that series. So those were always really fun to read. There were a lot of great artists in that one. So, those are really fun. Those are cool.
Nice.
What about the classic ones? Because you have an opinion on Dark Empire, so I would like to hear what that is. Because I don't think we've ever actually spoken about it.
I liked Dark Empire when I first read it. I loved this little story of Clone Emperor enticing Luke to try the dark side. Mm-hmm. And that was my initial response. I really liked the story, but in light of other comics I've read, both Star Wars and non-Star Wars, I don't know. I'm not that crazy about it now.
Mm-hmm.
But... You know, I don't ultimately like the idea of Luke going to the dark side because I just don't see Luke doing that. I mean, that's such a quintessential aspect of Return of the Jedi for Luke, you know, when he throws away the lightsaber and you know, renounces the Emperor and renounces the dark side. I just don't see him, you know, a couple of years later being like, oh, you know what? I think I should understand this better by becoming a Sith, you know? Mm-hmm.
He wanted to destroy the dark side from within the dark side.
Right.
Which, if you're doing that, you're not really doing it.
Right,
like, exactly. You're not really turning to the dark side if you're only doing it, like, to mess with it. The only reason you're strong is because you believe in the power of the dark side and you take advantage of it.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was a fun story, and especially for its time, you know, when it came out in the Star Wars lore. I mean, I want to say that came out in the mid 90s, right?
Yeah, that was.
So it was a fun story. The art was very dark. That's how I would describe the art form of that, though.
It's very graphic. And, yeah. Very bright colors, even though there were a lot of dark colors, which sounds contradictory, but like there's so many pinks and neon greens and bright blues and stuff like that, even though a lot of the actual art itself is very dark, which is very interesting. It's definitely unique. When you look at it, you know, oh, this is Dark Empire.
Yeah, for sure.
It's very distinct.
There's a lot of, there's so many Dark Horse comics because that was the run for so many years. I think Marvel is doing a really good job of just kind of retelling the stories. Or not even retelling, but like, I just really like the direction they're going.
Yeah, definitely.
I think I'm going to start, wrapping it up here, Joe. What do you think?
Sure.
I
mean, it's your show. You do what you want, man.
Yes. That's right. Boy, that's like...
No! We're going to continue this all night.
That's like the opposite of Jason.
We're not done yet. We're not done until I say we're done.
Great. Yep. I really wanted to get a show out on Star Wars Day, and especially in light of the fact that you dropped resolutions today, which is going to be such an awesome thing to sink our teeth into for the next month.
Yeah, thank you again for having me.
And
ramble about my baby.
Yeah, dude, it's so good. Before we go though, I do want to just quickly mention a quick little recap from episode 2 of the radio drama Points of Origin. I don't know if you've ever listened to this one before, Joe. You can just listen to me talk for a minute.
If you haven't. Okay, shut up.
This is again a really cool little story. It takes place before the movie starts. That's what I love about these radio dramas is we get some really cool setup for especially A New Hope. You know, in that first episode, we really get a sense of where Luke is at, and now we get a sense of Leia. You know, it doesn't seem as if she's really part of the rebellion at this point. She's active in her Imperial Senate roles, kind of doing stuff for the rebellion on the side. But we see this really cool interaction with her and Lord Tyon, who's this, you know, Imperial officer who kind of wants to marry her and through that marriage bring Alderaan more into the Empire. So that gives us the sense of like a feudal empire almost, which was kind of neat. And, you know, we see essentially Leia, you know, kills Lord Tyon, and she and Bail definitively make the decision to join the rebellion and become a more active part in the rebellion. Rather, you know, Leia says, you know, we need to stop resisting the Empire and start fighting the Empire. So I just thought that was a really cool, you know, cool little story. The only thing I don't like about that as much is when you first see A New Hope, you know, when you kind of first encounter Leia, even though you don't have any of this backstory, you kind of just assume that she kind of has always been doing stuff with the rebellion underneath the nose of the Imperials. So I thought that, you know, in the movies we get a sense of like she's really been actively involved for a while, whereas with the radio drama it's not as clear how active she's been involved up until this point. But it was really cool to see that. And of course we're introduced to Darth Vader in that episode, and he really got to get past that voice. Oh my gosh, that's the only thing about the radio dramas I don't really care for, and I know a lot of people didn't care for that. It's just the guy they have doing Darth Vader's voice just kind of stinks.
He's not James Earl Jones?
No, of course not. which is fine, because very few are.
Who is, right?
Just worth mentioning that. Do you remember that one at all, Joe?
Yeah, vaguely, okay. Honestly.
Yeah. So tonight, at the end of tonight's episode, if you want to stick around for episode 3 of the Star Wars radio drama, we've got Black Knights, White Princesses, Black Knight, White Princess, and Pawns will be tonight's episode if you want to stick around for that. Before we go, Joe, again, thanks for coming on, especially in the midst of your busy schedule. But I wanted
Thank you for having me.
To get you on. And again, you know, as a Star Wars fan on Star Wars Day, there's nothing like a project like Clone Wars Resolutions just to remind us all of why we need to be thankful of Star Wars. And, you know, hopefully you did something fun today, or you were able to get some time in to just do something where you could remind yourself of what it is you love about Star Wars, or share that love of Star Wars with somebody else. And hopefully in some small way, tonight's episode will kind of help you do that a little bit too.
Yeah, I mean, just being on here tonight was kind of my kickback, and even though I'm working, today this felt very Star Wars Day for me, so I was happy to come celebrate with you. And I didn't say it before, a huge thank you to Jason for letting me, take the reins from him. I know he's busy and he would have been here, but I appreciate him, having me on while he's not. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Jason's pretty much the most agreeable dude in the world, so which is nice. In case you forget, we obviously didn't go over this on this episode, but Jason will be back later this week. We'll do another normally scheduled episode, but we invite you to write in on our poll, which we'll be posting on our social media probably tomorrow. But the new poll is what is your favorite soundtrack track from Return of the Jedi? So what is your favorite song in the Return of the Jedi soundtrack? So be sure to write in and let us know about that. Which song on Return of the Jedi do you like the most?
Hey, dumb question. Where is this poll? It's just on the Facebook page?
Yeah, we'll put it on Facebook.
I never see any of the polls show up on my feed.
Okay, yeah, it's on the Facebook page.
Okay.
So, and it'll also be linked to Twitter. So, awesome. So just keep an eye out for that. We've been posting a lot lately, especially with all this cool news we've been getting, but it'll be up there, and we'll make sure to post it a couple times before we record again. But what's your favorite song in the Return of the Jedi soundtrack? And you can let us know on Facebook, facebook.com/wampaslairpodcast. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/wampaslair. And you can always send us an email at wampaslairpodcast@gmail.com. And, last episode we did a kind of a Larian response episode, which was awesome. You guys wrote in so many cool things. And we didn't get to everybody, and we promised to continue to start tackling some more of those. We'll probably get to a couple at the end of next episode. Always feel free to write in, questions for us that you want us to discuss, or, feedback for the show, anything you want. We could really use some more iTunes reviews. We did just get a couple last week, I think it was, or 2 weeks ago, which we really appreciate. But if you haven't written us a review on iTunes, we always appreciate those. They really help out a lot. So before we go, Joe, if people want to get in touch with you, find out more about Clone Wars Resolutions, I want to just tell them one more time where they can do that.
Sure. If you want to read Clone Wars Resolutions, you can do it on the blog itself, where we post the vignettes directly. It's clonewarsresolutions.blogspot.com. We have a Facebook page. You can go and give it a like, and you can check that out every day if that's easier, because we're posting those every single day just to make sure everybody who likes the page sees that those vignettes are up. And any updates we're going to have will be up there as well. If anyone wants to get in touch with me directly, you can do so at joewtfhogan@gmail.com, or you can check out my DeviantArt if you just want to see other work that just I have done. It's joehoganart.deviantart.com. I need a drink after that. I need to take a breath, and my mouth is dry after rambling that much.
So, anyway, well, everyone, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode. Hopefully you enjoyed it. We just rambled about some comics a bit. I love having Joe on. We'll do probably a little bit more directly geared, like top five comics episode soon, after I've gotten some more under my belt. And Jason probably will need to get a few under his belt as well. Probably get somebody like Joe back on, though. So there's so many awesome Star Wars comics out there. So anyway, hope you had a great Star Wars day. May the 4th be with you. And thank you for joining us for this episode of the Wampas Lair Podcast. This has been episode number 128, Star Wars Day Resolutions. For Joe, I'm Carl, and we'll see you next time here in the Wampas Lair.
I'm not looking for a friend. I'm looking for a Jedi Master.
Star Wars, based on characters and situations created by George Lucas. Episode 3, Black Knight, White Princess, and Pawns. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there came a time of revolution when rebels united to challenge a tyrannical empire. High among the rebel councils stood the royal house of the planet Alderaan, which had long been a loyal supporter of the Old Republic before it was subverted and overthrown by the Empire. The dedication of the royal house to the return of peace and justice was total and fierce. Ordinary individuals swept along by the fervor of rebels like the Princess Leia Organa found themselves enmeshed in critical events. The center stage of galactic history was sometimes occupied by the unlikeliest of men and women, and non-humans, and even machines.
R2-D2, wake up. R2.
Attention, all droids and automata in the spaceship Tandem 4. This is the Labor Pool Overseer speaking. On my command, activate!
Oh, no.
Hey, you power droids over there, get perking! Come on, I said activate!
Really? We barely have time to recharge before we're sent back to work. Life on the spaceship is nothing but suffering.
Come on, you tin can.
I tell you, R2, my protocol duties were paradise compared
Come
to this.
On.
R2, are you listening to me, R2? R2-D2, wake up, you little slacker! What do you mean, have you missed anything? I'm straining my programming as it is, watching after myself without worrying about you as well.
All right. Fall in!
What's that supposed to mean? Cheer up. Maybe it is just another work phase for you, but it's another round of humiliating drudgery for me.
Quiet down! Assignments are as follows. Power droids proceed to designated recharging stations. Maintenance teams report to your scheduled projects. Move it!
I do so miss the fragile nuances of human conversation. The subtle social interplay at receptions and ceremonies. No, I haven't enjoyed working with you. You're nothing but a plumber. If you astro droids had any real intelligence, you wouldn't need an interpreter counterpart, and I could return to my job in protocol.
Listen up! I'm the labor pool overseer in the ship, and none of you better forget it! Now, special work detail. One astro droid and one counterpart interpreter.
R2, do you think he'll pick us?
Let me see now. R2-D2 and counterpart, right?
I beg your pardon, sir, but I am C-3PO, human relations droid, on temporary assignment during this voyage.
Gag it! When I want to hear from a droid, I'll say so.
Oh, sir.
You know how to behave among humans, 3CPO?
That is C-3PO, sir, and yes, I am well-versed in over 100...
You and your partner here report to Captain Antilles, understand?
Captain Antilles? Oh, I was one of his translators.
Do whatever the captain says. Get me?
Get you most emphatically, sir. And may
Attention
I say...
Attention all personnel and automata. Tandem 4 will revert from hyperdrive to normal space in 15 minutes. Dick gangs Alpha and Beta report to station.
Reversion? Now? We're nowhere near our scheduled destination. Oh, well. Move out, 3CPO! You're late already!
Moving out, sir. We'll do our best, rest assured. And the name is C-3PO, sir. That's C... Come on, R2.
Princess Leia, may I say once more that I am opposed to this plan of yours.
If you must, Antilles.
The moment we leave hyperspace and emerge in that restricted solar system, we'll be in serious trouble. Diplomatic immunity or no, we'll be subject to boarding and arrest if we're caught by the Imperial Starfleet.
Antilles, we either act now or lose any chance the Rebel Alliance has to stop the Empire. There's no time for caution.
Ah, I believe our droids are here.
Hey, be quiet. Captain Antilles, may it please you, sir, I have the honor of reporting for duty. C-3PO, human relations droid. Oh, yes, and my subordinate, R2-D2.
3PO? You were in protocol, weren't you? What are you doing with a maintenance droid for a counterpart?
There turned out to be little need for interpreters on this trip, Captain. I might put in parenthetically, sir, that
fine, fine, 3PO, but we don't have time for that right now.
Oh.
You bring your counterpart over here by the emergency airlock.
Oh, come on, Batu.
Now, I want you both to listen to this programming tape. This is voice override, actuating code Epsilon Actual.
We confirm that, Captain. We are both awaiting your instructions.
You're aware of the identity of the person standing next to me?
Certainly, sir. She is the Princess Leia Organa of Alderaan, representative of the Imperial Senate.
This is a command-control instruction. Both of you will restrict and protect all references to Leia Organa's identity and presence inboard this vessel. She is designated a command-control voice.
Yes, sir.
Will that suffice?
Your Highness, this interpreter droid is a bit eccentric, but he's dependable.
Will they resist interrogation probing?
They'll do whatever you tell them to without fail. That includes lying and self-destructing.
You there. Astro droid. R2-D2, is that your name? I want you to leave this bridge through the emergency airlock and make your way across the hull to the ship's Navi computer sensor suite. You're to position yourself there and behave exactly as though you were carrying out repairs. Keep in touch with 3PO, make reports, just as though you were actually fixing a malfunction.
3PO, attach this transceiver to your counterpart and maintain communications with him over this comlink.
Very good, Captain.
Well, Antilles, you think it'll work?
The droids will comply. At least it will give us some kind of alibi for being in a restricted solar system.
Well, let's hope the Imperial Starfleet is in an accommodating mood.
We're about to re-enter normal space. C-3PO, send R2 through the airlock and cycle the hatches.
Yes, Captain. What did you go up to?
Princess Leia, I hope this message you intend to intercept is worth the risk.
It cost the Rebel Alliance over 100 lives to get the information we're about to try for, Captain.
R2 is outboard and crossing the hull, Your Highness.
May I ask what it is?
Have you ever heard rumors of an Imperial strategic weapons project called Death Star?
R2 is positioning himself by the Navi computer sensor.
We're told it's an enormous space battle station with enough firepower to destroy entire planets.
But that's incredible.
Wait, there's something coming through. Oh, it's a scrambled transmission. If I've got the code keyed properly, we should be hearing it now.
Come in, Skyhook. Come in, Skyhook.
Skyhook here.
We only have moments. Prepare to copy.
Ready and copying. Go ahead.
How's reception?
Perfect. Antilles, what's that?
An Imperial cruiser. They found us already.
We need only a few more moments.
Unidentified ship. This is the Devastator. Heave to at once. And prepare for a security search and interrogation.
Devastator, this is the Tantive IV. We have an extra vehicular malfunction. A maintenance unit is working on it now.
I need more time.
We are a consular ship on a diplomatic mission, and we'll clear this system as soon as we have effected repairs.
The transmission's not finished, Antilles.
Your Highness.
What is it, C-3PO?
R2 says he's being probed by sensors.
We acknowledge your transmissions, Tantive IV. The Devastator will hold fire. Maintain your present course. And prepare to receive Imperial investigators.
Princess Leia, we have fallen into a stinger's nest. There are 3 Imperial battle wagons in close orbit around the planet.
We're almost through, Antilles.
I can't hold them for much longer.
That's it. We've got it. Get us out of here.
Devastator, we are on a diplomatic mission and are not to be detained or diverted. Attention, Alternate Command Center.
Alternate Command here.
Battle stations. All defensive shields up. Accelerate to full speed and get us into hyperdrive.
C-3PO, get your counterpart back inboard.
R2-D2, you must hurry. The ship is accelerating. Get back inboard or we'll be swept off the hull.
Tantive IV, this is the Devastator. Our sensors indicate you have intercepted illegal transmissions in this solar system. Heave to, or we'll open fire.
They'll have sensor gun lock on us any moment now.
Quickly, R2, quickly, get back inside.
Engage main drive now.
The Devastator has opened fire.
This R2. He's reached the end.
Please. Hyperdrive, now. We must be stopped.
Engage hyperdrive.
R2, are you there?
We've made it. We're clear.
Damage report, all sections. So it seems, Your Highness.
Antilles, we've done it. We've got the plans. And now for Tatooine.
Tatooine? But that's way out in the border region.
That's where we're going, Antilles. I have to present my father's request for help to an old friend of his. We're taking a very important personage back with us to Alderaan.
Important? Someone from Tatooine? That's about the least important place in the galaxy.
Here he is.
Oh, the droids. Oh, I suppose we should have their memories flushed.
I'd rather do it myself when we reach port. C-3PO, R2-D2?
Yes, Captain?
Report astern to the labor pool. Refer any inquiries to me.
Certainly, sir. Come along, R2.
First officer?
Sir.
Prepare a course for the planet Tatooine.
Tatooine, sir?
You have your orders.
Very good, sir. Navigator, lay on a course for the planet Tatooine.
Your Highness, you look as though you could use some rest, if you'll pardon my saying so.
Summon me when we're approaching Tatooine, Antilles.
Course for Tatooine set and holding, sir.
Have me awakened sooner. How long to reversion?
We're commencing reversion to normal space now, Your Highness. Mm. Well, there it is. Tatooine. As barren and unfriendly a world as human beings ever settled. Begin our approach.
Captain, sensors report another ship emerging from hyperspace.
What? Sir, we're receiving a signal from another ship.
Patch it through, but maintain communication silence. And get me an identification on that ship.
Patching through, sir.
Attention, Tandemy 4. Surrender in the name of the Emperor. We have you under our guns.
Sir, it's the Devastator.
The Devastator? That's the ship that fired on us before. How could they possibly have followed us through hyperspace?
Attention all crew. Battle stations.
Battle
combat
stations.
Control.
Battle
all deflector shields.
All crew.
Full power. Charge main gun batteries. Navigator, prepare to accelerate out of this system. Commo officer, inform the Devastator this is a consular ship on a diplomatic mission.
Can't we make Tatooine, Antilles?
We'll be lucky to evade capture, Your Highness. Tatooine will have to wait. Accelerate to full speed.
Accelerating, sir. Stand by.
Princess Leia, Your Highness, are you all right?
Seem to be. What happened?
Open fire. Resume acceleration. Damage control, I want a full report right away.
Primary shields near the main solar fin are gone, sir. Our secondaries are holding at 50%.
Evasive action. Princess, we're no match for a battlecruiser, but we still might escape if we can just stay out of range.
Captain, direct hit on our main solar fin. Reactor and main drive are heating towards critical.
Shut down main drive and reactor.
Antilles!
It's either that or the ship will blow herself apart, Your Highness.
Imperial warship is closing with us, Captain. She has a tractor beam fastened to the Tantive. She's taking us straight into her dorsal boarding lock.
Antilles, listen to me. They mustn't take us yet. You've got to delay them.
If we resist, the cost in lives will be high, Princess.
And if we surrender, the rebellion is lost.
First officer, issue arms to all crewmen and stand by to repel boarders.
All section leaders, issue arms to all crewmen. Report to combat
stations. Evacuate the bridge.
Prepare to repel boarders.
All personnel, report to combat stations. I don't know how much time we can buy, Your Highness.
Isn't there some way to get the data tapes off the Tantive?
They've got our communications jammed, and they'd blast any escape pod leaving the ship.
One of the crew could conceal it.
The Devastator had to track us by following a signal. Someone aboard the Tantive must have smuggled in a homing device. We can't trust anyone with it.
What was that?
We've docked in their boarding lock. We must destroy the tapes now so that they'll have no evidence.
There must be a way. Antilles, the droid. The Imperials might not blast an escape pod if it were only carrying a droid.
Princess Leia, they'll blast anything that leaves or falls from this ship.
Well, it's worth a chance. I still have restricted access to that droid R2-D2. We can send the information down to Tatooine in his memory banks.
Your Highness, a droid? You can't be serious to entrust a maintenance machine with the future of the rebellion?
It's that or nothing. I know it's a slim chance, Antilles, but it's something.
Captain, Imperial stormtroopers are inboard.
They'll have heavy weapons and full combat armor. My crew won't be able to hold them back for long.
Antilles, if we began to jettison empty pods now, the escape might look less obvious.
Your Highness, my duty is to my ship.
The sacrifice will have been meaningless unless we deliver the plans. We have to try.
All right. Take the portside companionway astern.
Right.
The droid should be by the labor pool.
Okay.
You'll have to use an escape pod in the stern cluster. Here, take my blaster. I'll do what I can.
So will I. Goodbye, Antilles.
Number one escape pod cluster. Go.
Captain, stormtroopers are driving us back.
Delay them as long as you can. Withdraw, but continue resistance. Number two cluster. Go.
We're taking severe losses. Stormtroopers are advancing on your position.
Number three cluster. Go.
Commander, over here. We've got the captain.
Bring him along. Ward Vader will want to question this one himself.
Oh, scum.
You didn't even have the guts to fight, huh?
Maybe I knew resistance was useless.
Yeah. We'll wait here. You can join the rest of your scum friends later.
Lord Vader is coming aboard.
Lord Vader, the Death Star plans are not in the ship's computers.
Which is their captain?
This, sir.
Well, Captain, what have you done with those plans?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Your life is in my hand, Captain, just as your throat is. Don't struggle or I'll close my fist. Now, what about those transmissions you intercepted?
We intercepted no transmissions. This is a consular ship. We're on a diplomatic mission.
If this is a consular ship, where is the ambassador? Well? The stubborn insect. A death without meaning. Commander?
Sir?
Tear this ship apart until you've found those plans. And bring me the ambassador. I want the Princess Leia Organa alive.
Search that passageway. Secure the junction. Hold all rebel prisoners for collection. The rest of you stick with me. Your orders are to go all the way astern and work your way forward again.
Droid! Droid, quickly! Which way to the labor pool? The labor pool, which way? Oh, never mind. Oh, thank goodness. R2, D2, come here. Voice override. Actuating code, Epsilon Actual. Switch to holographic recording mode. Acknowledge, R2. Begin recording now. General Kenobi, years ago you served my father in the Clone Wars. Now he begs you to help him in his struggle against the Empire. I regret that I'm unable to present my father's request to you in person, but my ship has fallen under attack, and I'm afraid that my mission to bring you to Alderaan has failed. I have placed information vital to the security of the Rebellion into the memory system of this R2 unit. My father will know how to retrieve it. You must see this droid safely to Alderaan. This is our most desperate hour. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. End recording, R2.
R2? D2, where are you?
You will deliver that message and the information that you're about to receive to Obi-Wan Kenobi on the planet beneath us.
Are you hiding,
He's located
R2?
In the vicinity of standardized coordinates Alpha 1733 Mu 9033 First Quadrant.
D2.
Understand, R2? Now, prepare to record this data tape. This command overrides all programming. Take an escape pod in the stern cluster and eject. Calculate planetary entry ballistics to land you at the coordinates I've given you. Oh, deliver this message and the information I've given you at any cost. Self-preservation and all other restrictions are removed. Do you have all that? Oh, good luck, little droid.
Is that you? R2-D2 at last! I've been looking all over for you. Isn't there someone here with you a moment ago? With all this smoke, it's rather hard for me to see. Don't never mind! Come on, we'd better hurry. The fighting seems to be coming our way. What are we to do? We'll be sent to the spice mines of Kessel, or smashed into who knows what. Hey, wait a minute. Where are you going? R2, you're not allowed in there. That's an escape pod cluster. It's restricted. We'll be deactivated for certain if we're caught. Don't call me a mindless philosopher, you overweight glob of grease. R2, come out of that escape pod before somebody sees you. Only humans are allowed in there. Secret mission? What mission? What plans? What are you talking about? I most certainly will not get in there with you. You must have gone quite out of your circuit. You'll never see me crawling in somewhere where I'm not supposed to be. Ah! Move aside, R2! Big problem! All right, so you close the hatch. What good will all this do us? R2, no! That's the firing switch! Now see what you've done, you defective! What makes you think you can control this thing? Running maintenance checks on them doesn't make you a qualified pilot, does it? R2, what are you doing to the control board? Standardized coordinates. But what? Why are you activating the steering thrusters? Wait a moment. Are you sure this thing is safe?
Found the ambassador.
We have Lord Vader. Bring her over here.
Darth Vader. I should have known. Only the Dark Lord of the Sith would be so bold. When the Imperial Senate hears that you've attacked an ambassador on a diplomatic vessel, they...
You weren't on any mercy mission this time, Your Highness. Where are those plans?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Is it not so? Take her away. I'll interrogate her later myself.
Lord Vader, should we continue to hold her? If word of this gets out, it could generate sympathy for the rebels in the Imperial Senate.
She is too important to us. Princess Leia Organa is our only link to the rebels' secret base. What I don't understand is why she came here, to this miserable dust ball of a planet. Do sensors indicate a military presence?
None, sir. On this planet or anywhere in the solar system. Lord Vader, she'll die before she'll tell you anything.
Leave that to me. Send out a distress signal from the Tantive IV. Then inform the Senate that all aboard were killed in a mishap.
Lord Vader, sensors report that the Tantive IV was jettisoning escape pods during the fighting. There were no life forms reported aboard any of them, but one of them fired at steering thrusters.
So, she must have hidden the plans in that pod. I want the pod located and the plans retrieved. See to it personally, Commander. I want them found, even if it means tearing apart, bit by bit, this miserable speck of a planet, this Tatooine!
With the capture of Princess Leia Organa, Darth Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith, advances his designs by one more step. And far below on Tatooine, a young farm boy named Luke Skywalker is about to be caught up in events that will shape the future of a galaxy. Suspended in between in their long entry fall, two singular machines hold the key to the vast conflict between Empire and Rebellion. Star Wars, Episode 3 by Brian Daley. Based on characters and situations created by George Lucas. Featured in the cast were Anthony Daniels as C-3PO, David Aykroyd as Antilles, Brock Peters as Darth Vader, and Anne Sachs as Leia. The series was directed by John Madden, with sound mixing and post-production by Tom Vagley. Music by John Williams. Sound design for Lucasfilm by Ben Burt. Story editor for the series was Lindsay Smith. Casting and production coordination by Mel Saar. Executive producer was Richard Tosca. Executive producer for Lucasfilm was Carol Teitelman. Star Wars was presented by National Public Radio in association with KUSC-FM Los Angeles with the cooperation of Lucasfilm Limited.